The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I'm firing. I fired it right now. I turned it on and we're going. No time to waste in this world anymore.
That's true.
I did yoga this morning and it all went to shit right afterwards. I got off my ass at 6:15 this morning, Dave. 6:15.
6:15. Why?
I signed up for a class pass.
Are you in trouble?
No, I did a class pass to go. And it sounds like an aggressive ad for ClassPass. No, I had a goddamn ClassPass, and I signed up for the class, and I forgot to cancel it in time. It's the same way when I get flights home from being on the road. I'm like, I'm going to leave at 5 in the morning on Sunday, and that way I'll get home and have a whole day. And then Saturday night, I'm like, what the fuck? What dipshit move was it to go leave that early, just sleep in? So I signed up for a yoga class at 7 a.m. today.
Huh.
7 in the morning.
How'd it go?
I went to it. I was the only one in the class. Uh-huh. And it was very weird. It was me. It wasn't.
It was really just you?
It was just me. Nobody else showed up. And it was me and a woman. She's like, well, I'll still do it. I'm like, I'm here.
You and the instructor.
Yeah. I get into it. Like, I've only done it a few times, but they tell you how to do all the breathing, and it's very calming. And I could have used it after the bullshit I dealt with today instead of before. Although, who knows? Maybe I would be even more fucking pissed if it was the other way around. This is the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. God damn it!
What are you pissed about?
All kinds of shit that I forgot to turn the air on.
Let me hear it.
Hold on. You fill the air. Fill it. Dave,
So what?
You worked in radio, goddammit.
What do y'all want to talk about?
You worked in radio, Dave.
Oh, okay.
It's like, was it Wayne's World 2 when Garth gets by himself for a second? What's wrong, buddy?
Well, privilege complaints first.
Uh-huh.
They fucked up my Jeep, my sweet whip.
You have a sweet whip.
I'm going out to Moab tomorrow
with
my friend and yours, Andrew Orvidal.
Yeah.
Because he just Brewster's millions his money.
Yeah.
He can't.
You got him a nice truck.
He can't. It's like they give him a paycheck that's on fire. And if he doesn't cash, if he doesn't spend it immediately, like the zeros burn off of it. So he just, and I love it because I'm like, you should get this. And he's like, yeah. And then it just goes off. He kept asking me about like off-road shit. And he's like, well, this truck's real nice. I'm like, oh yeah, get that nice truck.
He asked me about a van. What are you going to do with a van?
He's putting feelers out. He's going camping a lot. He uses the things he gets.
Okay.
I will say that. He's already been camping more than I've been in the 6 weeks he's had the truck.
Hmm.
And so he's out adventuring.
That's like asking a blind guy, though, about his sunglasses.
Like, is it?
Mm-hmm. Asking me about a van.
Well, how so?
It's a different purpose.
True. Okay. That was a thick.
Give you any information on how to recreationally spice up your van?
Which door can you hide behind to take a shit the best? Yeah, that's not quite the same. I see what. Okay, I get what you meant there.
Anyway,
so minor fucking fancy pants bullshit on me, but also just obviously everybody's sexual abuse thing, like. I don't, you know what, any dude who's like, I'm a male feminist or I'm woke or anything, I don't trust them at all. You give me a filthy comic who's kind of just an outright scumbag in just to anybody, I'm like, I probably trust that guy more. I think I trust the guy who's like, hey, how's it going? What's up, sugar tits? Fucking whatever. Hey, that guy's probably somewhere as a decent soul, but somebody's like, no, I'm a male feminist and I stand up and Black Lives Matter. I'm like, that guy's probably a fucking psycho. Like, the more you put it out there that you're decent, the more you're probably a piece of shit. I don't want to go into details of why I'm feeling this way, and I know I'm incorrect with some of it, but fucking this fucking day. God damn it. I'm drinking, and it's 2 in the afternoon. Not a big surprise.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, though, about the – I mean, the woke guy, the feminist guy. Show me, don't tell me. That's all.
Yeah.
Show me, don't tell me.
Yeah. With your actions, change the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody just Thumbin, what a great dude. And then that's, I was joking with Lisa Traeger on, she just wrote something on Twitter like, the fucking dudes are scumbags, and the ones that keep, and the ones that keep saying they're not scumbags probably are only, or keep asking, whatever, stuff that I'm like, I never asked for anything like to be complimented. And she was just like, I never said you were good. And I'm like, ha, funny. Like, Lisa's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
Watched her the other day on Horse and Pete.
She was on Horse and Pete?
I believe.
Awesome. I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that show. But, and how many guys, like, okay, I will admit, like, yeah, sometimes it gets a bit much when you hear, like, fuck all men, or you read, like, fuck all white men and stuff. Like, all right, okay, I get the frustration, but.
I'm not touching that one again.
Yeah. Dave learned his lesson. But I understand a lot of people write this, like, listen, it's not an attack. Like, sometimes, that does feel like an attack. But other people, like guys that have to jump in and be like, but I'm not one of the bad ones, like, just shut up.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying you specifically are. People are just recounting that there's a lot of shitty things that dudes are doing out there. Just shut the fuck up and listen.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. It's not – and it is difficult to not take it personally when you see, like, you know, like, just fuck all straight dudes, fuck all white guy. Like, all right, listen, I get that I'm a part of the majority that is frowned upon right now. But also I'm like, hey, okay, it's not – everybody gets to vent frustrations.
Yeah.
I know I'm being lumped in a moment of frustration. I don't think anybody's out there grabbing torches up against me, mm-hmm. you know. If that happens, I might be like, oh, hey, guys, hey.
Well, this current, you know, the Me Too movement, the hashtag Me Too and all that, going back to the
– sorry, listeners, serious topic.
The white men of terrorist thing. Touched a nerve a few weeks ago. The Me Too thing touches zero nerve because I'm secure and confident. Ask any woman who has ever known me if what their opinion on me is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some ex-girlfriends out there that may think I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm afraid to commit. But ask any woman that I'm a friend with or even a mild acquaintance with, and I'm what are you going to find on me? No, I know I'm a good dude. I'm not the best dude in the world, but I know how to treat women. I know how to act properly. So that one never bothered me. And it's like – but it is disappointing and kind of heartbreaking that there is so much of that shit
going on. And that's what should be upsetting to everybody is if you didn't know before, now you know. And any dude who's getting real – like now it's like, well, why are you being so defensive?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's getting real defensive about it now?
Yeah.
Again, actions speak louder than words.
And dudes making the joke, oh, that's the Me Too.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. Good one.
And guys have been abused too by stuff.
But I'm talking about the guys that are just thinking.
Oh, right. I'm, you know, admittedly,
there's a lot of that going around.
I've dipped it. I took Twitter off my phone. I know Joe Mandy made a big stink about leaving Twitter, but I thought what he said was right on. About it just being a horrible, just a vile place. I took it off my phone. So happy. Took it off my phone.
Yeah.
So much happier. Oh, if it's on my laptop, like, oh, it's on the desk. I'm like, oh, there, type of thing. Walk away from it. I'm not carrying my laptop around with me everywhere I go. Yeah. It feels great. Well, anyway, fucking goddamn, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. I want to know more about your first world problem here. I mean, you can talk
It's even more than a first world problem. I bought a Jeep and placed a shitty job on it, and I'm a guy who doesn't – I'm not mechanically inclined, mm-hmm. and I would love to be able to do this stuff on my own if I had a garage and had tools. And, you know, if I even had that, I would try and I would fuck it up. But at least I tried it on my own, mm-hmm. and then I'd take it to somebody to fix what I made a mistake with. But they just fucked up a lot of stuff on it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, well, goddamn it.
Well, and as your buddy – from my point of view.
Yeah, I know. You let me bitch about stuff.
But I get it because, all right, you're very successful, but you're not materialistic at all. It seems, from my point of view, that's your one little, you know, luxury is you enjoy the Jeep. You enjoy beefing it up, putting all the cool accessories on it.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to do dope shit with it.
So that's the one thing that it seems that you kind of funnel your fun money into. And, yeah, I get it. If they screwed it up, you paid a lot of money to have something done and – they did a real shit job. There's nothing wrong with being upset about that.
There was an old – when I used to get pissed about stuff, an old roommate who passed away last year. Did I talk about Luz?
You did, yeah.
Old light, Spanish light, old crazy light. But whenever I'd bitch about something, I'd be like, the perspective – and it's been done by other people. It's like The kid of with millionaire parents who they got him the wrong color BMW for his 16th birthday, his rage is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't think that's right. He's like, no, they don't know. If they don't know.
It's all relative.
That's the thing. I know. I never had money. So if I do spend it on something, I want – if I fucked it up or if I gambled it, then that's on me. But if I'm still spending my money and something's done wrong – I'm going to be a pain in the ass about it.
Yeah.
I don't care what – I mean, I'm a cheap ass still through and through. I'm a real tight ass with stuff. And if it's, something's fucked up, you're going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, especially something like that. It's one thing
feeling
to,
like you're taking advantage of.
It's one thing for – you know, to hold up the line and talk to the manager over a $5 burrito. But, you know, if you're dropping some serious coin on, you know, a vehicle or accessories on that, yeah – there's nothing wrong with demanding that it be done properly.
Well, and also, like, if I'm – I'm not just fucking mall crawling with the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drive it around for a week tomorrow
mm-hmm.
in the desert. And now it's like, well, now what else is wrong with it? I'm bitching about that. Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to hear this, Dave.
It's a badass Jeep, though, buddy. It's looking good.
I don't want it to look like too macho bullshit. Like,
no,
I just want it to be cool.
Think it does.
Like, people get those angry eyes on there. Like, that looks so dumb.
Yeah.
It looks so dumb. It's like – just show me your boner. Like, clearly that's what you want to do. Like those, like the Jeeps where it looks like it has angry eyes on it and it's all like, that looks like a sexual offense. Like, that looks like if a car could be a sexual predator, that's what those Jeeps look like.
That's true.
That's what you do. When you drive that Jeep, you look like you're probably a rapist.
Oh, man.
But what – why were we, you right before I started, what we were talking about how people think Melania Trump's a body double.
I just saw this today. It just that's the thing too now with the fake news stuff mm-hmm. and the fake bullshit websites, the fake news reporting websites.
Everybody's got a conspiracy.
Yeah, and you don't know what's
– thanks for trusting us, the foremost leaders in reporting conspiracy theories.
But
– the boogie monster.
You remember a couple weeks ago when Trump was talking in front of a camera and he said something about – Melania was standing right next to him, and he said, "Melania sure wishes she could be here today." And everybody's like, "She's 2 feet to your left. What are you talking about?"
I don't remember that because I've outside of getting rid of Twitter, I also deleted all the news apps.
Yeah, well,
my
that's
phone.
Smart.
I'm like, we're all going to die soon, so I'm just going to go out partying.
But yeah, that happened a couple of weeks ago, and it was very odd. People were like, she was literally standing next to him, as she often does, and he made a statement, something to the effect of, you know, "Oh, Melania really wishes she could be here today," and the whole crowd was like, do what?
But how much of that goes that he's just a fucking – he's a fucking retard, and that's not a word you're supposed to use, but I'm going
to
use the word right now.
Like
I'm not, like, saying, like, boy, like, no, he's a fucking retard, and, like, also, how much does he objectify women to the point, like – it's not like – I'm sure he has never confided in her about anything where it's like, oh, yes, and I should say – that's it's a fucking cufflink that he forgot he put on.
Yeah.
Like, she's an object. Of course, it's easy for him to forget she's there when she is purely just eye candy, arm candy, trophy piece.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it is.
What must their relationship be like?
Nothing. He's rich. She fucked him. And that's it. And she's not going to – she's
– I mean, what must that be like to be in a marriage
nobody
that is
loves,
that hollow?
Nobody loves that man.
Yeah.
He's an ugly, boorish, rich man. And if that's how you can find security in this world and you've resigned yourself to that's who you are, that, well, I'm going to not worry about money. Like – then, all right, then that's your life. That's what it is. It's, he's bought all his wives. His kids, his sons are in the same model as he is, just fucking goblins walking the earth. And and obviously, you know what? I don't think we still have any stragglers that have glommed onto this conspiracy podcast but been like, well, hold on a second. I think we've probably shaken off any kind of alt-right. I mean, we dipped into that Pizzagate shit to just try and explore it.
Yeah.
And people were like, how dare you? It's like, well, we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But by no means are we in any, like, I think all politicians are diabolical. Like, I think there's always, at the very best a politician is a megalomaniac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Is someone going like, I know what's best. I'm going to act on behalf of strangers for what's best for a group of people. That's already fucking insane.
Yeah.
And that's the best case you can hope for.
Yeah.
Worst case is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway. Boy, I'm yammering a lot.
This conspiracy
yeah.
that just popped up, I believe today or yesterday. Melania Trump, okay, like I said, a couple weeks ago, you said you didn't see it, but he's making some whatever statement in front of a camera. Melania's standing right next to him, as she often does. He goes, oh, Melania really wish she could be here today. And everybody's like, she's right there, dumbass. So most people chalked it up to exactly what you said. Oh, he's so up his own ass that and she's such an object to him that he didn't even notice. Well, apparently he did it again recently. And now I'm looking at papermag.com. They have an article. I don't know if this is a legit website or not.
I know Paper Magazine.
It's Where in the World is Melania Trump? And there's a conspiracy theory now. And there's a photograph of her recently.
Paper Magazine, big deal. Yeah.
Where she's wearing a trench coat and big dark sunglasses. And who's the guy that kind of or this lady, Andrea Wagner. Andrea Wagner-Barton gets the credit for the solid tinfoil hat detective work on this one, according to papermag.com. She's suggesting that this picture of Melania, I guess taken just a couple of days ago, where she's wearing big dark sunglasses. Her hair looks very different. And she thinks that her nose and mouth looks different. She's suggesting
that
this is a body double or some sort of some sort of double. That's not the real Melania Trump. And they do a comparison. They zero in on her face and her nose and her mouth and her lips. And like, I mean, I can't tell.
But I would say, okay, to this... Like, maybe she hasn't had her Botox kept up, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that as a joke. Like, maybe, like, you get that much work done and you don't do the maintenance on it, shit starts falling out on you.
That's true. And what's the motive for...
Her husband, who was just a regular psychopath, now also leads the free world as plunging us into potential nuclear war, civil war. List your grievances. She's only been treated like an object for the entire time, and now she's being like – I think – like what's the point? I think she just doesn't care. Like, yeah, I'm going to go out looking like shit. Fuck this guy. I think maybe that's it.
Yeah, that could be.
Or, yeah, she does look a little bit – I think that's it. I think she just – now how many public appearances – does she have to make? And like you, all the things where like he walks down in front of her on the stairs, doesn't get the door for her. He's just a piece of shit to women. Big surprise or big news break. But maybe she's just like, you know what? Fuck this fucking guy. She's probably asked for a divorce how many times? Divorce the fucking president. Do it. He's probably threatened her. I'm coming up with all kinds of shit because I'm just fed up with everything.
That would be great if, you know, no president to my knowledge has been divorced in office.
I wonder if she was on top of being a president, like being like, I don't think this is working out. Like, you fucking what? Getting pissed about that. I think she's just over it. I think she just doesn't give a shit. She at no point, I would guarantee that Donald Trump was ever like, I'm thinking about becoming president. I think it's a relationship where he just opens his mouth and does stuff and here's money and look after our fucking kid.
It's insane. Did you hear?
That's why she didn't even want to live in the White House. She just wanted to stay in New York.
Was it the New York Post? Did you hear the thing? What Trump said about Pence and homosexuals?
What now?
I think that was yesterday. In some recent interview,
I tuned out, man.
They're both sitting there, Pence and Trump together, and I believe it's the New York Post, or Wall Street Journal, somebody, Washington Post, maybe. I don't know. Some big newspaper, and they're interviewing both of them, and somehow the topic of LGBT rights pops up, and apparently Trump laughed and pointed to Pence and said, "Don't ask him; he wants to hang all of them."
Really?
Ha ha! Don't ask him.
Really?
He wants to hang all of them. Jesus, dude! First of all, beyond the moral and ethical.
White House denies Trump joked about Pence being anti-gay. Let's see.
How could you say something – like how are you that – surely – I mean You would like to think that he didn't say that.
They're saying that it's in private.
But still.
Oh, wait.
How could you be that? With you, in today's climate, even if he did feel that way, which they probably do, they don't seem to be any huge friends of the LGBT community. Why would you verbalize something that ridiculous and awful?
Now, well, okay, hold. Okay, something's happening here. Today's date. This is okay. Now that we're just on the tip of conspiracies, today, as we record, is Tuesday, October 17th. Why am I opening a New Yorker article?
I think that's what it was, the New Yorker.
But why? This article is listed as being from October 23rd of this year. So why is there article from the future?
Well, it might be that. New Yorker is a magazine, correct? Not a newspaper?
Yeah.
Magazines always, you know, bump the date up a week or two.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to appear. All right.
Like if you were to go grab the brand new issue of Sports Illustrated.
Oh, an earlier version of this misstated the date in October 2017. Oh, no, that was in the article. I don't know, man. I'm just looking at it all now. Well, yeah, he thinks you can go to the gay camps. Like you can pray the gay away. That was Pence's thing. That. Yeah.
He thinks you can pray the gay away?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why can't you pray the gay to come here?
A moron in 2017 thinks that that's a choice.
Our second in charge.
Yeah. Yeah. Gay people choose to.
Our second in charge.
Be ridiculed and persecuted their whole life.
I would get to the point. You know what? I bet. Well, that now this is a question. All right. The idea that gender and sexuality is a spectrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, we talked about that.
Yeah, do you agree with that, Dave?
Well, I was, you know, a couple weeks ago I was talking about I had a long conversation with a buddy and my example was like, oh, if a guy gets drunk and kisses a dude at a bar, he's gay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he may not be a practicing gay, but he's gay. And that's fine, but that means he's gay. And she was like, not necessarily. She was explaining to me the concept of being a spectrum. And that makes sense to me now.
And that's where I came through like on the gender thing too, that, all right. All your inside, like, this is, okay, please understand that I'm a dipshit and I'm just trying to make sense of the world with the language I have at my disposal.
Yeah.
But, like, when you see, like, when you can fucking take a car and you can put whatever body you want on the car, but you know what the insides of the car are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You ever see like a kit car where somebody's got a Fiero, but like, nah, look, it's a Lamborghini Countach. You're like, nah, man, it's a fucking Fiero.
Still got that shitty Fiero.
And but I'm not saying that in a way that transgender, like one thing is worse than the other.
Yeah.
But the insides of what it is, you know, so I'm coming around to the fact that you're born with, you know, more often than not, you're born, if you got a dick and you're a guy, you're like, well, that's my dick. But why can't
that's what I say every morning.
That's my dick.
Oh, there it is.
That's my dick. That's when fucking Pornhub finally starts doing sitcoms. Let's just write the first sitcom for Pornhub. I swear to fucking Christ. If anybody does this in the next week, well, I'm copywriting it right now, and I don't care if this comes out next week. It's Tuesday, October 17th, 2 p.m. PST. Fucking I'm writing sitcoms for Pornhub. That's what people are – you want to talk about going viral.
Yeah.
You write a good quality script,
that's
comedy. Funny. Not these bad parodies. I know they try and go campy.
Not a shitty parody. A good sitcom that just happens to include porn.
It's called That's My Dick.
That's My Dick.
Hold up. Where's My Dick? Maybe it's called Where's My Dick. Either way, we'll figure it out.
Dude, Where's My Dick?
It's a guy wakes up, his dick's missing all the time, and it's a vibrator that has its own mind, and it goes off in the world, and it's just kind of like, oh, man, walking down the street. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like a dog, but like it's lost, and then ladies, fuck it.
Anyway. Spectrum sexuality.
Yeah. So you are, you know, you're born and you have these parts. And I think through the conditioning that you're raised, like, I guess it's kind of weird when you're going to raise your kid non-gender. You know, that's, again, I don't have kids. It's not my world. I'm even planning on entering, trying to be a father. But I would think it's okay to be like, just encourage whatever their interests are. I don't know if you're denying them interest or you're just giving them gender neutral toys. I didn't have gender neutral toys. My sister's the one who always played with G.I. Joes and liked them the most. Hated dolls, liked G.I. Joes. And yeah, she's gay as fuck. And, but also, you know, was good at sports. But G.I. Joes, they're still dolls. It's just what you want to do with the dolls.
Yeah.
You can be into Barbies and still have the Barbies fight each other all the time. Mm-hmm. It's dolls.
There was about a 3-month period when I was about 9 years old that I thought I was gay.
Yeah. When you're nine?
Yeah. Based solely on my affinity for Care Bears.
Yeah.
I couldn't get enough Care Bears. And I thought, like, after second thought, I was like, oh, does that mean I'm gay?
And I could see that, like, being a parent, like a progressive parent, being like, get into Care Bears all you want. Doesn't mean anything about – 9, I don't think when you're 9, you're anything.
Well, I would sneak off and play with them, like, at Walmart. Oh, like, I'd like break off from my mom, and I'd go, like, look at them in secret.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
And I could see being, like, nowadays, being like, yeah, fucking play with Care Bears. I don't give a shit. Play with them.
All those pastel colors, yeah. Cute little bears.
Sports are neutral. Music's neutral. I mean, I don't like we played with guns and like toy guns and shit, and like, but it was more. I just liked the make believe part. I liked making forts and hiding out and just playing in the woods. It wasn't so much the violence part of it. I think it was just like whether it was playing war, cowboys and Indians. Like, it was just having an opponent, somebody you'd hide from, or somebody you'd like try and spy on. Yeah. That was just fun shit.
Absolutely,
but
I would do that today.
We
have a group of people go play hide and seek.
Brendan Walsh and I did that when we were both working in Lake Tahoe. It was like years ago, and we both realized we were working there separately of people. We're like, and we just got drunk in Lake Tahoe, and we decided, like, let's fucking follow one guy. And we just, for hours, we just drank in the casino, but would continuously, like hide behind a pillar and just make sure we followed one guy the whole night. Like, what's this guy up to? And we'll just, he's playing blackjack now. Let's go watch him play blackjack. Just out of sheer boredom. And we didn't want to freak him out. We weren't trying to fuck with him. It was just us seeing how long could we keep dibs on one dude while sneaking around. And it was like two casinos. And there's an underground tunnel between them. And we're like, we lost the guy. Where's the guy? And we'd like run around looking for the guy. And then we find him like, we found the guy. Just being silly.
That's great.
Yeah. If you're that guy and you're listening, long shot, there's no harm. It's just a couple of bored drunkards being a couple fuck faces. How did we get away from – just raising your kids to be a – like now I could almost see in an open-mindedness, in a true like willingness to be open-minded where like what if the idea of sexuality – this doesn't – I guess not so much with gender – but sexuality, like, where it almost becomes like a food thing, where you're like, I only like, I like Taco Bell, and I like Mountain Dew, and that's it. Anything else tastes weird to me. What if you finally start exploring outside of that, and like, that's all right. It's a very Midwest thing. It was like sushi. I remember my mom yelling at me because like we went to some Japanese steakhouse. Like, they got sushi here. You're not getting sushi. I'm not spending money for you eating uncooked fish. You're getting a steak that the guy cooks in front of you. Like the concept of just trying having something else.
My mom's the same way.
Okay. And it's a very old school mentality. And
guacamole looks like puke.
Yeah. And it seems very silly when it's about food. Now, too, maybe somebody like us, a couple 40-year-old dudes – in another 40 years, it's going to seem very silly to look at sexuality in that way. Like, what's the fucking hang up, man? Maybe it's because we're still surrounded by these societal norms and this and that. And, you know, I'm sure that now there are more sexual tourists out there or experimenting, as it's called. Now, it's beyond, I mean, and that's not to take away from anybody who's like, no, I'm gay. This is my thing.
Yeah.
This is what I'm into, and I don't need to stray from it. But I think maybe nowadays there's much more like more sexual tourism, and that not in the way that people go to Thailand and fuck little kids. I meant in the fluidity sense, but in the gender sense, that now that makes me – because of that, that makes me understand the idea of allowing yourself to mentally realize that like I think I'm something else. Like, I know I have these parts, but I don't, It just doesn't – like it just – imagine your whole life it not feeling right. It not feeling like you're still sexual, but you're not with the correct parts you want to be sexual with.
Interesting.
And the whole time from – and then when I read Laura Jane Gray's autobiography, some other people have engaged in dialogue with me because of what I said on the other podcast. If maybe that because – you felt that way. You felt that way for your whole life. From a little kid, you felt that way. Why would you deny the idea that you felt one way your whole life? Why would you deny that? And now we're entering an era of medical science where you can achieve that happiness that you want. Hmm. So
that's interesting. The concept of the sexual tourist that bodes the question.
Dumb old idiot trying to make sense of it over here.
Do the legit card carrying gay folks? Do they frown upon the sexual tourists in the sense of, hey, man, stop poaching the herd. Either you're in or you're out.
But then in that sense, is that also the same closed-mindedness that straight people have towards anything else?
Yeah.
Like maybe we're at a point now where there's going to be like, well, not that saying that there wasn't gay people before, but – and as open as it is, there's like old school gay people that are like, that's not what gay is. Like, well, how can you say?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be – it's going to be old school straight people and gay people sitting at a bar going, I don't get these fucking kids. Like, they're sort of gay, but then they're just not gay. But maybe they'll be a little bit gay on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays. That doesn't make any sense. And if that's going to – maybe that's going to unify old gays and straight people going, I don't understand these goddamn kids. Mm-hmm. How can you just be kind of gay? It'll be beautiful. The older generation – I think I figured it all out.
Probably.
Anyway, fucking Trump and Pence. Don't fucking kill Trump. Kill Pence. Send a message to Trump. He'll quit and we're fucking over it.
One more Trump tidbit of news. I know the answer to this question, but do you know who Greg Popovich is?
I'm getting confused with the Cernovich guy. Who's Greg Popovich?
Don't look him up. I always like the concept of like what do you know? What do my buddies know? What do they know and don't know? I coined it the other day. Like I can't think of it. But the concept of like how much do you know about the shit you know nothing about? You know nothing about sports, and that's fine. You know very little.
I sure do. I sure don't.
Greg Popovich is the coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, there's no way I'd know that.
Do you know what sport that is?
Basketball.
Oh, good. See, that's good. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to gauge how much you know.
That's a good sports name, by the way.
Mm-hmm. San Antonio Spurs.
Spurs.
Anyway, Popovich, he's got a reputation, always has, of being just real curmudgeonly and just real just direct.
Oh, I did read something about
like in post-game interviews. Oh, he does not suffer fools. If a reporter asks a dumb question, he will just make that reporter feel like the biggest idiot. Like, and sometimes it's like, dude, lighten up. But then other times it's like, yeah, I like that guy. I mean, he just speaks his mind. He's so blunt and direct. Anyway, the other day somebody asked him about Trump or something. He called him a soulless coward.
Yeah.
For apparently Trump was blaming Obama about – something about Obama wasn't.
You don't even need to explain why someone would call Trump. any list of anything.
It had to do with Obama, what he may or may not have done in terms of like reaching out to fallen soldiers' families or something like that.
Oh, because
Trump
he didn't.
Was talking shit about that. And man, Popovich, he called him a soulless coward. Talked about he was mentally unfit to hold the office.
That seems that doesn't even seem like reactionary extreme. That seems correct.
Yeah. Here we go.
That's what I did. I did read that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been amazed and disappointed by so much of what this president has said and his approach to running this country, which seems to be one of just a never-ending divisiveness. But his comments today about those who have lost loved ones in times of war and lies and prayers, blah, 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 blah.
Mumble.
I almost don't have
people love it when they're listening to somebody mumble over the.
This man in the Oval Office is a soulless coward who thinks that he can only become large by belittling others. This has, of course, been a common practice of his, but to do so in this manner is a lie. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's more. He ripped him pretty good. And way to go, Popovich.
I would like to know if there's anybody – it's so easy to get caught up in the rhetoric and the finger pointing. And there's – I have zero doubt that Trump's he's got a bad soul.
Yeah.
Like there's politicians that you don't agree with their policies, but then you can still kind of – if you really wanted to, you could put yourself in your opponent's shoes and just again, high school debate class, forget about your beliefs. Mm-hmm. Now you're the 1%. Mm-hmm. Now you've worked, you're multimillionaire. Now look at this policy from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And high school debate, argue for that. Is there anything, like, is there anything that you can look at Trump? Is there any positive you can look and be like, well, I was reading about that. Like, they're talking about how George Bush Jr., like, still took the time to visit with all the families of anybody that was wounded, killed or wounded in the war, which he should, because that, it's a fucking joke war that we're still in. But I wonder if there's any, like, to stand back, like, all right, take a deep breath and look at all, like, the policies, the deep shit. Is there anything you can point to Trump and go, like, well, there's not to excuse anything else, but just, I'm just wondering if there's something, me being, I mean, this isn't fucking Chapo Trap House. I don't know what's going on. But I wonder if there's anything where you're like, well, that was good. That was a good – other than sticking to the promises that were bullshit. Like, well, he did start building the wall. That he'd be like, no, that's garbage. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I don't know if there's anything. Like, something that you don't hear, because if you do just look at the news that you choose to look at, not the liberal media, but if you want to look at CNN, fucking no. That's not real. CNN is Fox for the left. That's not a secret. Everybody knows that.
Well, he's so far removed from the ideology of his fan base, of his base.
Oh, yeah.
He was born into money. His dad was a millionaire.
You said fan base, yeah. And that explains why he's the president. Yep. It wasn't people that looked at issues and thought, like, this is going to be a good leader. It was a fan base. He won the presidency the way people win American Idol.
Yeah.
And this guy's outlandish. We love him.
And that's what's always befuddled me about it, because, like, all right, most Republicans kind of fall under a semi-broad umbrella of the way they think and their ideology. And, you know, I would get it if even he was like a Texas oil tycoon who, you know, had a southern drawl and wore a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, some J.R. Ewing type. And then all the Republicans that, you know, the southern Republicans and just, this is kind of a blue-collar type guy. And he's a billionaire from New York.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with billionaires from New York, but that is the furthest demographic away from the average guy who voted for him.
He spit a good game. He spit a good game.
Even my parents to this day, they talk about yuppies and Yankees. Those are the two demographics that they look down
on. Oh, really? Yankees still? Yankees?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, this Yankee. These New York Yankees and these guys. And I got a whole bit about it I won't do. But they constantly, because it's also the one group that they could still get away with.
Yeah.
That's the only group you can still talk shit about. But they don't like
Yankees. Same way people talk about white trash or something. Like, oh, nobody's sticking up for that end. Yeah,
and they don't like yuppies. And a yuppie's just anybody who's driving a $20,000 car.
My parents were always, like, against yuppies. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom being, like – and I remember being a kid supporting it. Where, like, Ritz and Bart, like, my one, like, lunatic cousin. Like, my mom's favorite cousin. Who I look back, is like, oh, he's a crazy guy. He was fun. Mm-hmm. Or, like, my mom's other cousin's house, like, some nice house on North Shore. And he's talking to some doctor, and he's sitting there after smoking a joint in the driveway. He's like, I could probably do what you do. Like, barring any complications, if I watched what you did 4 or 5 times as a surgeon, I could probably do that. If I just watch it, I'm a visual guy. And I remember being like, yeah, all you got to do is observe. Why is a doctor so – I'm like, hold on a second. Barring any complications, if you're having surgery, that's a complication. Like, I look back, I'm like, that was – and it's this assuming somebody thinks they're better than you already because you have an esteem issue.
Of your insecurity.
You have an insecurity issue, so you're going to assume somebody else – and I don't remember the interaction that happened, but I remember being like, yeah, fuck that doctor. Like, wait a minute. No. Maybe it was just – and I still I would still rather have wild-eyed lunatics at a party than a bunch of stuffy fucking surgeons. But I mean, it would be a fun conversation to eavesdrop on. But yeah, yuppies are always like.
10 years ago, my mom called me a yuppie.
Really?
Because I bought my then girlfriend a used Honda Accord. You just turning into a yuppie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Because I want my girlfriend to drive a dependable car.
Yeah, well, and that what nobody realized now, the yuppies are the uber hipsters. Like, you don't have a BMW, but you do have, a vintage record player and a wall of rare vinyl. Like, I'm a foodie. No, you're a yuppie. You're a yuppie. Like, you can just, like, they exist now.
Yeah.
And also looking back, outside of the materialism, did we talk about that before? I read about the thing about how, like, the yuppies in the 80s were materialism. And now, and I'm guilty of this myself, it's not materialism now, it's experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we did touch on that. That yeah. makes sense, though.
And at least the experiences could enrich the
exactly.
individual
I think
more.
That's better. I think it's better, yeah. you know, to seek experiences rather than just to collect possessions.
Well, then maybe that speaks more to straight dudes going out and sucking some dicks.
There you go.
Go out and suck some dicks, man. Like, if you want to really – fuck your tough mutter. Fuck your – oh, you did a triathlon. Suck two dicks in a night. That's so much more impressive than your 26.2 sickers going like, man, I sucked a dick last night. I'll talk about that all night. I want to hear about it. What was it like? What did it feel like? Did it taste weird? What? That's something that would be new. Like, oh, I ran a marathon. Big fucking deal. Way to go.
Who's got that joke? Somebody's got a joke about, I know I'm not gay because I sucked a dick and I didn't like it.
I feel like I've heard it. I feel like I just wrote a new bit right there. Sorry to anybody who comes see me live and to hear me talk about that, but I think that's got some roots, yeah, man. That's got some roots as a bit. I'm worried about this fucking recorder. It's like blinking occasionally.
Oh, yeah?
It says it's recording. If it doesn't, because we got some gold on this one.
Oh, this is a good one.
We didn't even get to any scary shit. This was going to be the October fucking...
It's still going
to
be. We got it locked and loaded.
My friend
about the time.
My friend named Chicken texted me.
Your friend named Chicken?
Yeah. Who's a fan. Chicken,
like
not...
a children's novel.
Chicken, not only... Chicken from the band Dead to Me. Great band.
Oh, yeah?
Dead to Me. And was he in One Man Army also? Well, I think he isn't Dead to Me in other bands. And I met him through another friend, and it was one of those things, like, he was at a show. I'm like, oh, man, you're fucking Chicken from Dead to Me. Great band. But text just today, hey, bud, it's Chicken. I listen to Boogie Mountain podcast every week, so fucking shout out to Chicken. And he figured, I want to see this. He's also, he encourages all appearances of Chicago Mothman. Sorry, Chicken. I don't know. Chicago Mothman, he's on a busy schedule right now. He's clearly haunting the Great Lakes. But he said, new Bigfoot sighting. Did you see this?
No. No.
Brand new Bigfoot sighting.
Where?
Dave, you're not up on this?
I guess I slacked.
Yeah, well, I got to get the Apple News site. I'm not going to do that because I don't want any more news. But there's new Bigfoot sighting.
They caught me slipping.
Chicken says there's new Bigfoot.
He says there's no Bigfoot?
There's new Bigfoot.
New Bigfoot, right on.
And it's on Apple News, so I guess we could look that up.
Well, let's get into some scary shit.
Fuck, it's been 45 minutes.
Yeah, come on. That's fine.
But you know what? If people tuned out, tough, whatever.
Yeah.
But I like the conversation we had.
I do, too.
I'm sorry that I was upset about trite, yuppie things.
I like seeing you with a fire under your ass.
But I should – why am – I had more fire under my ass because they fucked up my fenders than I did about the epidemic of sexual harassment. I mean, I'm mad about that, too, but I just picked the Jeep up today, and they fucked it up.
Well, if we're being honest, one affects you directly and immediately, and the other doesn't.
True.
It's not that one's not important, but we're all guilty of—
How am I going to fight sexual harassment if I don't have my fucking Jeep all tuned up to go and trounce these goons?
Absolutely. Speaking of trouncing goons, I got some backlash from a tweet I made last week.
What'd you do?
Just all right. I know. Yes, I'm a semi normal, semi competent, responsible adult, and I know. I know violence is quote never the answer. But my point is, fellas, who go around.
Yeah,
and
fellas.
I've got some. Yeah. Oh, trust me, I got some people on my list. But because I got some friends, some close friends who have experienced some of this shit.
Yeah.
Fellas, beyond the moral duty, if you don't care about morality or ethics or common decency, I'm just saying, just remember that some of these women that you're harassing, they might have a brother or an uncle or a dad or a platonic friend or even a boyfriend or even a husband that has time to kill and nothing to lose and weapons and baseball bats and ski masks. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying I'm going to go out and do that. But I'm saying I wouldn't be upset if somebody did. If somebody did wait in a parking lot for this horrible sexual harasser and even worse, abuser or assaulter to come home. And who's it going to hurt if a guy dressed in black with a ski mask pops out with a Little League baseball bat and breaks his fucking knee?
The guy whose knees you broke. It would hurt him.
Boo fucking
it would hurt
Maybe
him.
Maybe you should have thought of that before. My point is, these fucking dipshits do that shit because they think they're not because they think they're going to get away from it.
Okay.
They think there's no repercussion.
I'm reading the feedback you got on it. Somebody thinks you can't fight wrong with wrong. Buddy, you don't understand street justice. That's my response to that.
And I'm not trying to be some macho buffoon, but I'm saying just keep that in the back of your mind, you piece of shit harasser or even worse, abuser or assaulter, that maybe one day some heavyset dipshit's going to jump out behind the bushes and break your fucking legs and laugh about it and remind you why he did that.
Yeah.
Hey, remember Susie Q? Guess what? She's my friend. She says hello. Go fuck yourself. Have fun in the hospital.
What I would also mention, don't bring up the lady's name, because why should they have a target to know where it came from?
No, and I
would. Because if they did it to one person, they've probably done it to other people.
Exactly.
And let them keep guessing. Exactly. Oh, of all the women you've harassed, which one was that retaliated? Now they know it's you because you announced it. You got to do this stuff quiet, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Quiet.
But just the
anonymity. That's why superheroes wear masks, Dave.
And maybe I'm putting my rage in the wrong basket. But like beyond, yes, the moral.
Now somebody's going to go out with the bat and be like, I'm Dave Stone. And they're going to hit somebody with the bat, pour fucking sausage gravy on them, and the proof's going to be there. And you're going to get framed, Dave. You're going to get framed. And the only way you're going to find out is going to test the sausage gravy and go, this was not homemade and it sucks. If it was good sausage gravy, they'd be like, oh, fucking Dave, now you're behind bars. Would you think first? God damn it, man, you're my friend. I want you free on the streets to fight for the right things.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, my God, that's funny. My point is, of course, they should.
There's cornbread everywhere. It had to be Dave Stone.
I'm more appalled at the fact that they did it to an innocent woman, but I'm also offended by the fact that your fucking dipshit ass thinks you can get away with it. You know? And if the law lets you off, guess what? Louisville Slugger is not.
Stop making threats when it's going to be. We're going to have to delete this whole episode because you just incriminated yourself. Say quiet, Dave. Say quiet. You named the name of the bat. Now they know.
I'm just saying.
I'm telling you.
Dumb fucking dudes, and I'm one of them.
You're saying again. I know what you're doing.
Dumb fucking dude, and this also pertains to like raising children and disciplining children. And I know nowadays you're not supposed to spank your kids and discipline your kids, but as a dumb little boy, as a former dumb little boy, the only thing that kept my ass in line as a rambunctious 5-year-old, was the threat of my dad coming home and taking off his belt.
Yeah.
And he didn't abuse me. But yeah, I got spanked a lot. And I deserved it. That was the only thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take away your Nintendo. I don't care. We're going to go to your room. I don't care. But if dad came home and he had that look on his face of like, I ain't fucking playing, then that, okay, I stand at attention. My bad. That's the only thing that
also
kept me in line.
And also, how much does that inform why women won't speak out? The very threat of some violence happening, whether it's going to happen or not, the very threat that violence can exist. It's this whole dialogue is about like, yeah, everybody's been a creep or fucking what you might define as awkward has been creepy to a woman. And I know I've done it. I know I've done it. I got no fucking I don't
you think you've been creepy to women?
Oh, man. Back when I used
purpose?
To live. Not on purpose, but something that I didn't think was creepy.
Okay.
Fucking stoned out of my mind and fucked up and kind of like making out with a girl or something like, oh, let's drive around and make out. Like, oh, let's go to the place where we would go smoke pot behind the warehouses because that's where the cops can't find us because I just don't want to get caught by anybody. But meanwhile, I'm driving a woman to this secluded location. Not that I'm going to do it. I'm thinking, oh, no, we're both on board, right? Here we can make out, and maybe if we want to be naked together, we can.
But you don't know 100% what she's thinking.
But no, and the girl's like, yeah, this is like a weird place. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
My bad.
I was in a totally – I was just in a like – okay, let's get the fuck out of here. Nothing went beyond it, but it's like, looking back, I'm like, oh, God, what a fucking horrible thing. Just being stoned, like, hey, we just want to fool around, right? Let's go to a fucking secluded location, which is totally just a rapey spot. And in my head, I'm like, ah, oh, we're going to go fuck around. Maybe, like, I'm going to see boobs. And then realizing that, like, oh, yeah, I'm in a place where nobody can hear or see what we're doing. Mm. I was a dipshit, stone drunk kid that didn't have the foresight or the wisdom to put myself in a woman's shoes and realize how creepy that was.
True.
Because I didn't have the wherewithal or the worldliness to think of being in that other person's shoes. And you don't gain that sometimes except for years of experience and being in the world and just growing as an adult. And the safety sense that a woman probably has to have, I'm sure that develops infinitely sooner in a woman than it does in a man, and a fucking horny dude who's just like, oh, let's go behind some warehouses and take our clothes off, see what happens, you know. And then that may have happened because a different gal, I remember, like, different gal I dated, like, yeah, let's go fool around behind the warehouses so we don't get stopped by the cops or where your friends know your car and are gonna drive by and
let
fuck
her
with you.
Suggest that.
Yeah. But I was like, yeah, we're just driving around. That's what you did in the suburbs when everybody lived with their parents anyway. You just drove around. We could parking. It was like make out point was like in the old timey movies. It was just our make out point was behind a fucking, washer manufacturer that didn't put in security cameras yet. So, yeah, I fucking know.
Yeah. But I'm just appalled at the nerve and gall of some of these assholes that, A, the fact that you would even do it, and B, that you think it's okay, and C, you think you're going to get away with it. Well, fuck you.
I cannot.
Any ladies need some freelance vigilante work done.
Stop incriminating yourself,
just
Dave.
Just want to fucking crack someone's kneecap who deserves it.
Well, then we'll go to Four Wheel Parts in Van Nuys after this. If they don't fucking fix my Jeep, you can be my knight in shining armor, Dave.
And it's not that. It's not. I don't need to be the knight in shining armor. I just can't stand shitheads getting away with shit.
I just think of Rodney Dangerfield. That's the thing. I read the Rodney Dangerfield autobiography. I'm like, Rodney Dangerfield, he's great. And you read him, like, oh, man, some of these parts are like, you guys were all fucking creeps at some point.
Yeah.
But I just think about him and Back to School. I was like, me? Oh, no, I don't get upset. No, when I get upset, Lou does something about it. And he goes to the guy and he just crushes the napkin holder. I want to go into Four Wheel Parts. Like, No, I mean, I'm not mad. I mean, when I get mad, Dave handles it. And you're just breaking every headlight in the parking lot right now. Although those guys are all like fucking psychos. They probably all have guns. Anyway, it's 50 minutes in. What did you want to talk about?
Let's get into it. We're on no timeline.
What's
stingy with the time?
I'm trying to be economical.
Yeah.
What is it? What are we talking about?
Well, I figured, we're approaching Halloween. Let's get into some spooky, scary, weird monster shit.
Okay.
You know about the Flatwoods Monster?
No.
Let me tell you about the Flatwoods Monster, Kyle. I'm sure you've seen a picture of it.
Really?
There's these pictures floating around, like when you
I'll look it up.
Aliens and stuff. September 12th, 1952, Flatwoods, West Virginia.
This is the one you have a lot of info on.
I have a lot of
Do you want to fucking shit the bed on the last 8 minutes of the podcast, or you want to save it for the next one?
Let's just do it. Come on.
Well, because we can get... Oh, we can get two episodes done today.
Well, maybe the listeners deserve a nice, robust episode instead of us trying to.
Who deserves shit? We didn't cut corners. We got real today, Dave. We got real.
I say we get into it. It won't take that long.
It should take long, though. You researched this one, Dave.
Yeah, but it's just one. It's just one story.
This is the picture of the flat. This looks like a pepper shaker that somebody glued roach arms onto.
All right. I'm going to tell you the story.
West Virginia. This is fucking some pillhead saw this fucking.
September 12th, 1952, Flatwoods, West Virginia. Same general time, same general vicinity as another famous West Virginia cryptid. Old cousin to Chicago Wolfman. or uncle to the Chicago Mothman, the original, the OG Mothman. Same general time, same general vicinity. Anyway, two brothers, Edward May, 13 years old, Fred May, 12 years old. They're playing in their school's little yard there, near their school that they went to. 7 p.m. on a Friday night, September 12th. They're hanging out also with their buddy Tommy Heyer. He's age 10. When all three boys, they see what they described as a giant red fireball streak across the sky and land on a nearby hilltop.
Yeah.
So one would obviously think that maybe that's some sort of meteor or something like that, but they see this fiery ball go right above their heads and land on a nearby hilltop. The hilltop was located in a pasture owned by a local farmer named G. Bailey Fisher. The boys freak out. They ran back to the May's house. They alerted Mama May, Kathleen May. She rounded up some other children who were in the house, a couple of her own, a couple of some friends. So her and six of these boys, a total of seven people, they go back to investigate this weird fireball. The group traveled about a quarter mile up toward the hill where they saw a large pulsating ball of light. And just to the left of this large ball of light, they saw what they thought originally was a pair of glowing red eyes.
All right.
That was a characteristic of the Mothman. Some members of the group initially thought the red eyes were those of a possum or a raccoon. And this one boy, a 17-year-old dude in the group, he was actually a West Virginia National Guardsman. I forgot his name. But he had a flashlight. He shined the flashlight on this set of eyes, and they were terrified to discover that the red eyes did not belong to a possum or a raccoon. But a 10 to 12 foot tall monster with a red face and a green body that appeared to be glowing. So think about that shit.
Okay.
This group of roughhouse boys go out there with one of them's mom, and they see this 10 to 12 foot tall monster, red face, glowing green body. The monster was later described as a towering man-like figure with a circular red face surrounded by a pointed hood-like shape similar to an ace of spades. You see in that picture, the head kind of looks like an ace of spades.
Like so they didn't even say it looked like a spade, but like an ace of spades.
Ace of spades. The ace of spades.
It would have looked like any spade.
That's
but
true.
But they said ace of spade.
Yeah, maybe because it was black.
I'm already out. Now we're going to get...
No, in the ace of spades, the black one? But like there's...
Oh, because fuck.
No, seriously. I don't know cards. Aren't some of the spades
red? Do you know racial epithets?
I know that. But that's not what I'm referring to. Seriously.
Even when you don't want to bury yourself.
No, I'm being serious.
Do you need a spade to help dig this hole, Dave?
No. Are some of the spades red? I don't know cards.
This is rich.
I don't know cards. Are there other spades than the ace of spades?
No, but...
Is there only the ace of spades? I'm being serious.
No, spade is the fucking...
Shape. But
They're always black cards.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I know, but when it just came out funny...
I understand. I did. It wasn't a
race. And it's also a shovel, which means...
It chopped that one up to stupidity.
Also, you know what I hate? You know what I don't like about myself is that I somehow remember old-timey racial epithets.
Hmm.
Like I did a joke about trying to say the word I forget my own joke, but the whole thing is like the old-timey racial term, like spook is a mm-hmm. term for black people. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a joke. I think it's the last bit, but just by saying spooktacular about Halloween is racist.
Uh-huh. So you brought that up on purpose.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a joke.
Yeah, okay.
But then do I have to do the joke to prove it's funny?
Yeah. You should.
I was like, Halloween's my favorite holiday, but sometimes I celebrate it too early. And I know you're saying you probably can't celebrate Halloween too early. I was like, try saying spooktacular in August. And people don't think you're talking about Halloween. They think you're just you just sound like a gay person commenting on a civil rights march. That's the joke. That's the whole joke.
Huh.
It's a good joke. I stand by it. But then people wouldn't laugh. And I'm like, is it a bad joke? But then I realize, nobody realizes that that's a a terrible racial term. I was doing a fucking edgelord thing by trying to make a joke about spooks. But spade is also one. And it's also a terrible thing. And that's why I was laughing because
I was that, knew that was.
But now it's on me for only knowing old timey racial terms.
It's true.
That should say something, though. Are there new racial terms?
Well, I'm sure there are.
Really? Listen, like, let's look at tiny victories here. What if there's no new racist words for black people? It's not a lot. It's not much. But that says something, that nobody's come up with new ones where people are like, yeah, let's call them that. They'd be like, no, you shouldn't say that ever. It's not doing much.
Yeah. I don't think we should talk about this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it as a positive.
Okay.
That nobody's coming up with a new racist that if nobody's coming up with a new racist term for people that's like grabbing hold with the populace.
True.
It's hardly
true.
Racism still exists and is rampant and is disgusting.
But at the very least.
Look at one thing where like enough people are like, well, we're not gonna come up with any new terms.
That's true. I feel the same thing about street jokes. There's never been any new like bar jokes, street jokes.
What's a new like?
I mean, they're all the ones I know seem to have been around at least 50 years, if not more.
Is anybody doing the is that a sense that comedy has ran its course as far as what's accessible?
Like, no.
Oh, let me get this like this 101 jokes.
I think that all those jokes were written in a time where people needed something to talk about and joke about and pass the time, whereas now.
Yeah, or like an old-timey, TV. Take my wife, please type thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it is? There's no street jokes, but it's what becomes, what becomes a meme or what gets incorporated.
That's the new street joke.
So – obviously, the street joke was originated somewhere and gets into the lexicon, but it gets that way because of a meme or because of what people take up. I've had a couple of mine pop up some places.
Really?
Yeah. I think the one where I was like – of the first record where I was like, what – you know, if I get a pet from an animal shelter, I'm a hero. But if I get my new girlfriend from a women's shelter
– didn't somebody rip that off?
It turned into a meme.
Yeah.
There's like a Joker meme. And I was kind of like, all right. You know, I don't – as long as nobody thinks I took a meme and did it live.
True.
That's the only risk. But I think I'm pretty
– well, you can't help that. You can't
control. I don't think any comedian's like, oh, I'm going to do that meme.
Yeah, no. I'm going to do that meme. Got some new memes I want to work out.
We can do this. Is a two-part episode.
No,
right
it's
now,
not.
Dude.
I can wrap
it. Two-part
up.
No, don't wrap it up. Give it. You research this, Dave.
No, I know, but I'm saying you'll see that it's just a thing that happened, and there's not a lot.
It's an owl.
All right. Spoiler alert.
I looked it up. It's an owl. Look at the fucking.
We'll see. Let me finish the story.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So. They see this 10 to 12 foot monster.
This artist's impression looks like somebody fell asleep watching Doctor Who.
Kathleen May, the mom, later stated that the monster had two terrible claws instead of arms, and its lower half was covered in some sort of long pleated black skirt. Looked like this thing was wearing like a long black pleated skirt. Witnesses also reported that the creature emitted an overpowering odor that burned the nostrils and made a few of the people sick. Some even fainted on sight. All right, so the ones that fainted, they gather them up. Everybody gets up. Mama May, she grabs all the kids. They all run back to the May house, where Mom called the local sheriff, who later showed up to investigate and reported that he saw and heard and smelled nothing. Months after the incident, this couple, William and Donna Smith, who were members of a civilian flying saucer investigation group based out of Los Angeles...
They civilian flying saucer investigation group.
They started doing their own investigations. They found several other eyewitnesses in the surrounding area who had similar experiences a week prior to the Flatwoods incident, including a mother and her 21-year-old daughter who encountered a similar monster with the same appearance and odor, but they decided not to report it at the time. Also, the local head of the Board of Education reported to the Smiths that he witnessed a UFO take off from a nearby field at 6:30 a.m. on September 13th, the morning after the incident. And
So the leader of the Board of Education saw a UFO.
Yeah, so several people saw this thing. So yeah, and nobody really knows what it is. There's almost no physical evidence. One investigator, this guy who won the newspaper, he came out the next morning. He found a set of skid marks and some like oily black goo tar shit on the ground. And he thought initially, oh shit, there's a UFO. Skid marks.
Who was this? Thought that?
The guy who owned the local newspaper. He came out the next morning to investigate the story. It was later found that somebody else had come out to investigate and had an old pickup truck, and that caused the skid
marks. And one guy thought that the UFO might have showed up on on the BF Goodrich tires.
Exactly. So,
like an old Rat Fink.
Now,
hot rod UFO.
Other people have written books about this.
Sweet burnout. Said shaka bras, and then peeled out. Then neutral dropped his flying saucer out of there. Oh no, we got a trans leak up in the third quatar.
Other people have written books about this incident, and somehow throughout the years, the description of this monster has kind of morphed into. Several people have described it as like a lizard, a reptilian inside of some sort of metal armor.
All right.
So, but reports of the original incident, everybody's like, no, I don't know how it got from this to that. So, and a theory is, like you said, some people think it was a barn owl perched on a tree branch, because if you look at the drawing that several witnesses made crude drawings of this thing, that the face could be, you know, if you put an owl right next to it, it lines up as far as the height off the ground and just the shape of the face and the red eyes.
Yeah.
So anyway, they used to have festivals every year. It's kind of their local claim to fame up in Flatwoods, West Virginia. But who knows? I mean, you know, there's this gas, this noxious gas, This fiery ball of light, this crazy reptoid alien thing. Who knows if it was legit or not?
When was West Virginia Mothman? Do you know offhand?
I want to say 55, but I'm probably wrong.
66.
I was close.
This was 52, though.
Yeah. 66.
Why? So I was wondering if like this was some sort of like Chamber of Commerce. Like, I bet, I want to look up that. I want to find out, clearly fictionalized accounts just to boost local revenue.
I'm sure that happens.
But this is before it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Well, you know what?
But, you know, who knows?
So we got a local lore. And oh, the only people that saw it were Ed and Fred.
No.
Their kids' names were Ed and Fred. Fucking.
They were the only people. Seven people saw it. It was Ed, Fred, his buddy Tommy, three other boys, and Ed and Fred's mom, Kathleen. Seven people saw this thing. And throughout the years, their descriptions have kind of wavered, and there's been contradictions. And some of the seven said they saw the ball of light. Some said there was no ball of light. Some people said that it had the little weird claw hands. Some people said it had no arms or hands. So who the hell knows? But it makes for interesting folklore.
I mean, hey, good for them for having a tail. But just because
it's Flatwoods Monster.
It's
a good Monster Quest episode. I've talked about my love of that old show, Monster Quest.
I like Monster. Every time I watch it, I'm like, I can't. Like, it's always like the same thing like this. I'm like, no, it's not. I wish the shows would just be like, well, this isn't real.
Yeah.
But instead, they're like, oh, what was that? Oh, did you see that? Like, stop drumming up shit. I would love a monster show where it's like, nope. Again, no dice.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's where we come in.
Boogie Monster, no dice.
Boogie Monster TV show. We need to make that shit happen.
Well, you want to give the people
fucking nice
Flatwoods Monster.
I mean, it's an interesting story. I'm not saying I believe that it happened, but as with most of our topics, maybe.
All right.
Could.
All right. Well, you know what? We didn't give this one a lot of do because we got caught up in other stuff. Maybe we'll revisit it.
Yeah, we might revisit it.
What do you want to... Okay. What's the recipe?
Ooh, I got a nice one today. Stop looking at the clock.
Where I'm not looking at the clock. I'm looking at it blinking on and off.
Where you got to be? Got to go yell at some 4x4 mechanics.
I got to go fucking dick around out there. That's it. I thought I could follow that up with actual examples of my dicking around, but nah, I'm just going to go dick around out there.
Oh, man. We're finally getting a little nip in the air here, even in Los Angeles. It's
it
fall.
It was 90 degrees yesterday.
Last week, it was nippy. It's fall. I love fall. Fall's my favorite time.
The whole state's on fire.
October's.
Sorry to take the piss out of you on this one.
I do love fall.
Either. Okay, sure. Somewhere it's
ignore the fires.
It's always autumn somewhere.
October's my favorite month just because I like fall. Right smack dab in the postseason baseball.
Postseason baseball. Halloween-y, but not all Christmassy shit.
Yeah. I love October. I love fall. So anyway, I got kind of a fall recipe for you. All right, and this is not my recipe. This is the first time we've got to break a new ground here on the Boogie Monster. I'm borrowing a recipe from one of my culinary mentors, one of my dear friends, and former Comic of the Week, Atlanta's own Paul Galwa.
Ooh, we enjoyed Paul's feasts in Atlanta.
Oh, my God, yeah. Paul cooks it up. Paul is the head chef / kitchen manager at the Albert in Atlanta. If you're ever in Atlanta, you must check out the Albert. Just high-end, amazing bar food. Wings, smoked wings, burgers, all kinds of great shit.
That burger was goddamn great. Oh, man. Burgers and wings when we were there.
The diner burger. Yeah, we had the diner burger and the smoked wings. Oh, change your life.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, Paul is an absolute beast in the kitchen. And the cool thing with his gig there, you know, it's kind of a mom-and-pop joint. It's not some big corporate thing. So they kind of give him free rein to just, hey, do specials. You know, make something and, you know, just do it for a week, whatever. So when I was there a couple weeks ago, one of the specials was a carrot ginger soup.
Okay.
Carrot ginger soup. And it was phenomenal. And I had two bowls of it, and I said, Paul, I got to have this recipe. He gave me the recipe. I have since made it myself.
Two bowls of soup.
And oh, boy, yeah.
Like in one sitting?
Yeah, in one sitting. I doubled down on the soup.
I love the idea of like getting another round of soup.
Another round of soup for me and my friends. But he gave me the recipe. I made it, and oh, boy, it's pretty easy to make, and it is a humdinger. Here's what we need. All right, list of ingredients. 1/2 pound of butter, 1 onion, 2 stalks of celery, 8 carrots. We need 1/4 cup of minced garlic, 1 cup of fresh ginger. Need a little pinch of red pepper flakes. This is where it gets kind of weird. You need 2.5 cans or about 30 ounces of ginger ale. Get you 2.5, 3 cans of ginger ale, 1 cup heavy cream, 2 ounces of sour cream. All right, and here's what we're going to do with all that. Pretty simple. Sounds intimidating, but it's pretty easy. All right, melt your butter. Take all that butter, throw in it.
That'll melt your butter.
Melt that shit. Throw in your onions. You want to dice that one onion. It doesn't really matter. All this stuff, you'll soon learn what I'm talking about. Don't worry about the dicing and the chopping too much. You just want a rough dice or rough chop because later we're going to puree all this shit. So melt your butter. Throw in a whole diced onion. Throw in the 2 stalks of celery. Chop that up. Your carrots. Give that a rough chop. Your garlic, your ginger, your red pepper flakes. So throw all that in the pan with the melted butter. Let that cook on low heat for about 25 to 30 minutes until those vegetables become limp and soft. Once you get to that point, after about 25, 30 minutes, add the ginger ale to the pot. Bring it to a boil. And as soon as it starts to boil, bring it back down to a simmer. Throw in a pinch of salt. Let that simmer now for another 30 minutes. And towards the end of that, after 30 minutes, you want to squirt a little bit of sriracha in there. Give it a little kick.
A little heat.
And then the final step is once you've done that, take everything and throw it in a blender. Puree the shit out of that thing. Just get it nice and smooth. Nice and smooth.
Sure.
And then once you've done that, then add the heavy cream and the sour cream. Blend it again. And then your very final step, once everything's been completely blended, get you a, what do they call that, a chinois? It's like a little strainer thing. like a little it's kind of like a colander, but even smaller, like any type of mesh strainer.
Tiny colander, yeah.
Yeah, like a tiny colander, but some sort of mesh. It looks kind of like a colander, but I believe they call it a chinois. But any type of mesh thing would work. You just want to strain that soup through the mesh just to get all, you know, if we're going for like really smooth consistency here.
Yeah,
so in case the blender, you know, left a couple of little strands of carrot or celery or whatever, you don't have to do that, but that would be the final
step. Get the bullshit out of it.
And then, boom, you got you a nice carrot ginger soup. Maybe as a garnish, you could throw in a little cilantro, maybe a little diced green onion. But, man, I love a good soup.
Nice.
And this is just a real smooth, silky soup. There's no chunks of anything. There's no meat, no nothing. People have been asking about vegetarian recipes. Not necessarily vegan, what with the cream and all, but definitely a vegetarian recipe here. And there you go. Thank you to Paul Galois, head chef at the Albert and former Comic of the Week. Look up his album, too, Man of Flavor.
Yes.
Man of Flavor.
An apropos title.
Yeah, Man of Flavor. And dude's a comedic and a culinary beast. So, and I have eaten and made this recipe, and boy howdy, it's a doozy.
What's your opinion on Parmesan cheese on soups?
I don't mind it. Yeah, anytime's a good time.
Once, if I'm in an Italian restaurant, they give me a soup, I'm like, Parmesan cheese? I'm like, yeah, parm the fuck out of it.
I can't think of many things where that Parmesan would make it worse.
Okay.
Why not?
It'd be sacrilegious to the carrot ginger soup.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if I would go out of my way to put it, but if somebody knocked a little bit in there, I wouldn't.
This is a wrong way to think, but when a soup doesn't have any chunks in it, I'm like, what am I doing?
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? I know I'm wrong, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I totally get it.
I'm just having a hot drink. I'm eating with a spoon.
But this is it. Well, think of it as a flavor explosion. You know, we're not trying to go for,
think of everything as a flavor
for hearty
explosion.
Consistency chewing, but just think of it as like. Now, I feel that way when I go to a Japanese restaurant or whatever, and I just have like the little broth.
Yeah, is this a food or a drink?
Broth. I
the agree miso with soup, and 100%. You don't eat. They don't give you a spoon. You eat it like it's just a big cup.
Yeah, that
you drink
I'm
it
on board
rather.
With. This, I think, it's so flavorful. It's so on a different level as far as the smoothness and the flavor and the spices that I don't feel that way. But yeah, a brothy, just a cup full of broth, wasted my time. Just hot water with a little bit of green onion in it. Get that out of here.
Right,
but this is not
enough.
That. This is a good time. Carrot ginger soup, courtesy of Paul Galois. So there we go. Real quick, comic of the week. Your buddy who we mentioned last week,
yeah,
at the time didn't even realize he has
We plugged his movie on Hulu.
Yeah.
But he did just have a new record come out.
Yes, he did.
Well, okay.
He's got an old record that he put out back in 2013 called The Worst Is Over. And then back in September, he put out his second one. Ray Harrington is who we're talking about. Overwhelmed is the new album. Ray Harrington, who you worked with.
Yeah, I worked with him in Providence. I've worked with him before. He's awesome. He's got the movie How to Be a Man on Hulu. And a guy who, and I say this in the best, in a complimentary way, can throw me under the bus as a feature.
Mm.
And I don't mean that as an insult.
Yeah.
Like, not like a guy that goes up there and fucking pummels the audience, and then and can do crowd work where it's like, no matter how rough or shitty, can just has them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like me watching, going like, thank God, yes, now I got to go earn my money after this. I got to go work after this.
Yeah.
And I say that with nothing but admiration for Ray Harrington.
No,
so
that's what every feature should be doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, if you're a feature, you should try and bury the headliner as a good comic.
As a good comic.
Not as tricks and not as just being dirty or being shitty.
Or trying to take over the show.
Yeah.
It's not your show. You're setting up the headliner. But with your act, with your jokes, bury it.
I did work with one guy once whose closing bit as a feature was to be shirtless with sparklers. And I was kind of like,
no, that's too far.
All right. Maybe save that for when you're doing an hour.
Yeah.
It was the same week that I'd also thrown my back out, so I was like real. This was like 7 years ago, but I was in real bad shape. And then this guy was closing the show with like topless with sparklers, and I was like, "Well, fuck me."
Yeah.
Anyway, Ray Harrington, ginger carrot soup. Don't be dicks to ladies. Flatwoods Monster's fake. This is the Boogie Monster.
Patreon.com/Boogie Monster. $4 a month, you get the Dave's Kitchen and the Q&A bonus episode. Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter. Boogie Monster.
Give us.
Kyle Kinane is not on Twitter anymore. He doesn't.
I'm on there, but I ain't looking at it. Give us your money, you fucking slouches.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster.